are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Playoffs? What are you talking about? Playoffs? You kidding me?
Talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice.
Are growing out, and the only way the roots grow out every single day and they grow stronger and they grow better is if that we all put our, we all water.
What? I'm out, man.
What's up? It's Monday night. How's everybody doing? Chip for the birds. Joined by...
I'm Drip.
Drip, a.k.a. JD, a.k.a. Ooh, and...
A.k.a. Post-Nasal Drip. Yeah, I love
Post-Nasal Drip. We were talking off-air before the show went on. I am almost the same hue as you.
Yep, that's fair. That's fair.
I don't know what happened.
Uh-huh. The home run derby, Adam Cease.
Yeah. So wait, real quick, before we get anywhere, I have a hot take. I have a hot take about the home run derby, because we know our boy Kyle Schwarber's in it. He's a Philly. I want him to win, but at the same time, I don't, and I want to tell you why.
Okay, the farmers want to know.
So the last time the Phillies had winners of the home run derby, Bobby Abreu, Ryan Howard. The rest of their season was absolute garbage dumpster fire juice because they altered their swing for the home run derby, and then they take a long time to get it back to normal. I do not want to see that happen to Kyle Schwarber because he is the only thing holding this Phillies team together right now. Literally the only thing holding this Phillies team together right now.
So if he's already tweaked it, it wouldn't matter if he wins or not.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When Abreu won, when Ryan Howard won, they had like 35, 40 home runs in the derby. That's multiple swings. I'd rather him put on a decent showing. I mean, he's going against Albert Pujols.
Right.
Like, I'd rather him have a decent showing, get knocked down the first round, and start getting his swing back to normal.
I think if he's already changed it, then it's already changed at this point.
Look, I want him to win. I do. I really want Schwarber to win, but at the same time, I want this Phillies team to make the playoffs. So for me, that's more important. And without Bryce Harper playing, I need Kyle Schwarber to be the consistent leader that he is right now.
Playoffs.
The MVP candidate that he's been.
Playoffs.
So that's how I feel about that.
Playoffs.
I kind of want Albert Pujols to win because.
Wow. We've hit rock bottom here.
We have hit rock bottom. I love Kyle Schwarber. I love the Phillies, but I want Albert Pujols to go out on top. He's Pujols. For a while, you thought he was going to break the home run record. And then
I never thought that.
All right, wait. Let me ask you. Who is the all-time home run leader in your mind? Is it Hank Aaron or is it Mr. Bonds?
Hank Aaron, without question.
Oh, the steroid thing. Here we go.
It's not about the steroids.
Show your work.
Hank Aaron, his body of work. He did it in a time where they were literally chasing him out of fucking arenas with like pitchforks and fucking and like damn near tiki torches.
Well, hold on. Devil's advocate. Bonds did it without seeing a pitch for weeks at a time towards the end.
We're talking. One is a threat to your life. The other one is just, hey, a threat to your livelihood. You know, it's not to take anything away from Barry Bonds, but the steroid thing does hurt it. Hurt me a little bit with that. And then on top of it, Hank Aaron is just Hank Aaron. He's like the Michael Jordan. It's like the GOAT conversation. Like Jordan over LeBron. Like different eras. But to me, the dominance of Hank Aaron is just the dominance of Hank Aaron. I'm sorry.
Wait, so can I tell you something that I came across basketball related? And Matt, I agree. Wait, the home run derby used to be better when it was you had 10 outs and that was it. You took 10 swings, and if you hit a home run, it counted as a swing. And you got to keep going, as opposed to now where it's like this time stuff, and it's I'm not crazy about it. Like the numbers and the 30-second bonuses, like I am peeping it, you know, here on the cellular. But again,
I'm never apparently about anything.
I love the home run derby. I, again, baseball guy, love the home run derby. but I don't like the new way it is. I agree with that. Home Run Derby used to be better.
I don't think people are not tuning into this for the Home Run Derby. I can assure you of that.
Well, again, you can do both. I am currently doing both.
Facts.
So can I tell you something that I came across, speaking of, you know, the GOAT conversation?
Let's talk about it.
And I forget who it was, and I forget where I saw it. In fact, I'm going to check my bookmarks real quick to see if by perchance I bookmarked it for the conversation piece.
For those of y'all who just are turning in, we do have some stories to tell.
Oh, my God. It is story time.
A lot of stories about to go down. First of all, I want to say shout out to my home team, Greer High School in Greer, South Carolina. We're about to do big things. You know, pew, 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 pew. You know.
Is that like an inside thing?
No, it's not. It's just I didn't know what to do with my hands, so I just figured I'd make a noise. It's only right.
Ricky Bobby. So wait, all right. So before we get into the story, Matt, you know I like to keep you hanging on by a thread here. By the way, we're not talking about the Flyers tonight. That team is terrible. They need to sell the Flyers. I don't care where they sell them to. That team is awful. Okay, Flyers talked on. I saw an image somewhere that said that neither Jordan or LeBron are the GOATs. And you want to know what exactly? So here was their logic.
Who said it?
I forget where I saw it, but here was their logic. And the logic was is that they needed – whoever the GOAT is needs to be good at everything, right? They need to be good at – they need to be the best ball handler, the best shooter, the best this, the best this. So the names that kind of went into it were Kyrie. They put the Currys in there. Like, those guys are the GOATs because they do everything. Like, we all know LeBron can't shoot threes. LeBron James cannot shoot threes.
Yes, he can now. Yes, he can.
He shot
a lot better.
Nah.
He shot a lot better, especially in the last.
What, in the Drew League?
No, he shot a lot better in this last part of his career. He's hit a lot of threes. I can't give you that. And I'm not a LeBron guy. Nah. I can't give you that.
I'm not a LeBron guy. But again, like, it's the whole well-roundness. Like, LeBron is not a lockdown defender.
But he's had big defensive moments, so I can't go about that.
Correct, but that doesn't mean he's the greatest of all time. They said the same thing about, like, Jordan. Like, Jordan was, he has weaknesses in his game, therefore he cannot be the GOAT. I did not agree with this take at all. I am sharing what these other people had.
Okay, let's hear it.
I did not agree with this take at all. That's what I'm saying.
Can I destroy this take, please?
Please do.
Okay, so first off, number one, in basketball, it's one of the most complex sports that it is. Because you have to do a lot of different things in order to be good at anything.
Matt is ready to go tonight.
Ready to go. So when it comes to Jordan did a lot of things. Defensive player of the year a couple times, MVPs, championships, just complete dominance for like a 6 or 7 year period. And the only reason that he didn't continue to win is because he legitimately stopped. Like, he retired twice. So, you know, I would say that at the end of the day, Jordan is probably the GOAT for those very reasons. And the fact that he made basketball international, we wouldn't even be talking about Luka Doncic or Liao Ming or any of these guys without Michael Jordan. Nobody cared about basketball outside of the United States until Michael Jordan. So for that, we must thank you, MJ. LeBron is a good man. So LeBron hasn't had any scandals. He hasn't, you know, he's kind of kept his nose clean. He's been a role model for our kids, with the exception of saying things asininely before he has the information. But as a mogul and as a basketball player, he is a mixture between Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson. So I would say he's the mogul of Magic Johnson, and he's the basketball player of Michael Jordan. And they had a baby, and he is what we call LeBron.
I think that that's an interesting take when you talk about, like, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was the trendsetter. He made like you said, he made basketball international. And LeBron, I think, has been a bigger ambassador to the game.
Well, you got Allen Iverson, too, to bridge the gap. So you had some people in there that
– Well, he brought along a culture, too.
Right. So you have some guys that – okay, so do you have Michael? And everybody thinks when Michael leaves, nobody's knowing more excitement. Then you got AI. And Kobe, and that's that era. So in that era, they bridged the gap till LeBron gets there. And then LeBron gets there and it's like mass pandemonium his whole career. There's like from the time he's 18 to now.
Even before that, the whole Sierra, like when he was in high school. And then the same thing almost happened with Zion, but he's not that guy.
No, no, he hasn't proven anything. And even if he comes back these next years and he plays relatively well, he's still now got to compete with Ja. Because Ja's the next one up.
Ja's the next one.
You know, Ja's the next one up. And if out of them young cats, he's the next one that I think is going to do it. Unfortunately, because of kind of social media, things of that nature, these guys have to be able to do it right at an earlier time. They don't get that grace period. Like, because there's so many good players. Man, it just started raining out of nowhere. There's just a lot of cats doing it. Not here, not where you're at, where I'm at. It's just like, it's this town.
We already did it.
It rained? Oh, that's crazy.
It rained. It was a little sun shower action. It was wonderful.
Oh, well, really getting a straight downpour. I can feel it.
All right. Well, speaking of straight downpours, I know people have been waiting for this story. My wife, she posted a tweet about it as soon as I told her because she felt the type of way about how like we just embarrassed ourselves. And I'm like, no. It's all in good fun. Yes, she enjoys chaos.
Yes.
Hey, could you chaotically turn the fridge? Because you're like right there and I'm on camera.
Oh, yeah. About to get real. So you want me to tell a story or not?
Hold on. I'm still setting it up. I gotta for it.
You want to throw me the alley-oop or what? I've been waiting. I'm going to go. I'm about to get a three-second call.
Hold on. I got to. Here it comes. Wait. Here it comes. Wait. All right, so I am about – Tila made me have to wait all day for this. Yes, Matt, she did. So I am walking onto a baseball field yesterday, and JD calls me. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? And he quick tells me this story, and I went, no way, we're going to talk about it. And this is what we are about to do. We are about to tell you that we did not deserve it.
You
did. We deserve it a little. Little bit.
Little bit.
So the episode is now called We Got Yelled At by J-Jaw.
And then, okay, can I start the story now? All right. So for those of you guys who don't know, I'm a basketball coach in South Carolina. So I have a player on my team who played in the ESPN Wild World of Sports tournament this summer, this last weekend. On his AAU team is a kid with the last name of Ortega Whiteside. All right? We all know that it's J-Jaw's last name. This kid is the brother of J-Jaw. All right? Now, apparently, Miss Ortega Whiteside is an amazing lady. So shout out to Mrs. Ortega Whiteside. She is
the umbrella lady?
Huh?
Is this the umbrella lady?
I don't know. She's just I don't know the backstory. I just know. Listen, I'm just telling a story, all right?
Is this Mama J-Jaw?
Yeah, Mama J-Jaw. This is Mama.
It's the umbrella lady. Got it. Continue.
Okay. So she is at the Worldwide of Sports, and she is taking care of my player and the rest of his AAU team. Now, we all know that there has been some disparity amongst Eagles fans about his gameplay in the past. Well, I guess my player says, hey, my basketball coach has a podcast. We should go listen and laugh at him. Particular episode they pull up must have been like archived, and they just went to a regular one. We're like trashing J-Jaw. And so, so basically, I guess he must have like walked in around the time, or the brother was watching it, tells him. So Amari calls me, which is my player, calls me, and we have a conversation about it. Lack of a better word, he jumps on the phone, has a conversation. Hey, man, thank you guys.
Wait, who jumped on the phone?
You know who jumped on the phone. Come on. J-Jaw jumped.
You're telling the story to the people.
Oh, sorry. J-Jaw jumped on the phone. I didn't know who it was. I said, this is J-Jaw. I was like, who? I was like, J.J. Ortega Whiteside? And like, I was joking. Like, I was legitimately joking because I did not know. At the point, I didn't know all the backstory. So he jumps on the phone. He tells me I'm wrong. Like, you know what I'm saying? I heard you on your colleagues, like, talking about me. This whole network pretty much talks about me all the time. And da da da. Nice enough guy, though. We'll say that. Class act. Could have cussed me out. Could have blessed me out. Could have said I was everything except for a child of God. All he told me is he didn't appreciate our comments towards him. And to be fair, we have dogged this man on several occasions.
So, we have.
So I am, I'm just happy that he didn't feel a level of aggression to let me have it. So shout out to JJ Ortega Whiteside for being a camper. JJ is a camper, a full-time camper. He's just going to let you, he let us know that he was displeased with us. He didn't put us on three-way or nothing. He didn't blast us on social media, but he did let us know of his displeasure with our podcast about him.
Okay. Tag me in, coach. Okay, so here's my thing. And I did not have the privilege of getting J-jawed out over here, right? Yeah, getting J-jawed out. I did not have that privilege. But here's what I will tell you. If you don't like the narrative, do something.
We already talked about this show. We're not going to down him anymore. We're going
to
let him
No, I'm not dogging him. I'm not dogging him at all. But I would say the same thing to him. Like, look, you've been here for a while. You were a high draft pick. You have not really produced up to that level. So that's a fair assessment of this man's career.
He's a tight end now.
Yeah, he had to change positions. That's not what he was supposed to be when he got drafted out of Stanford in the second round. This man is always going to be linked to Justin Jefferson. That's a DK Metcalf. He's always going to be linked there. We know that. But the fact of the matter is that I will be the first person to be like, you know what? My man turned it around. When he turns it around. I would love him to spite play this season and ball out, because then I will have him on the show and I will big screen him as I apologize fully for the slander I have thrown this man away. But right now, if I throw the slander his way, that man is not going to catch it.
Are you seeing these comments?
I can't wait. I can't wait for Carson Wentz and Ben Simmons to watch this podcast. They'll turn it off at the intro because we're dogging them. You know what I mean? Like, I want him. I would love J-Jaw to turn it around, especially now that he is a tight end. It's a position where we have some deficiencies. If he can add to that room, look, he's already the best blocking wide receiver that was on the roster. The problem is I don't want a blocking wide receiver. However, moving to the tight end position, you can be a blocking tight end. You already know the offense. You already do it up. Do the thing. But as of right now, as of July 18th, 2022, the man has not lived up to the expectations that came with him. And that is a fair assessment.
Shout out to my man, J-Jaw.
Here's what I found.
That's what he found.
Big Brother's watching.
I'm definitely watching. First of all, I want to let you guys know, this is what I felt like. That's what I felt like hearing, talking to this guy. Like, it was
when he was yelling at you. And look, I do feel bad because there are running an Eagles podcast primarily. We do tend to get heated and we do speak emotionally. And him and Jalen Reagor have been the subject of
ridicule,
some pretty slanderous episodes. I do understand
ridicule. That. It's ridiculous.
And I get that.
It's mostly you.
I know. And look, I understand. Like, I will apologize to Jalen Reagor. I'll apologize to J-Jaw. I will apologize to
by the way.
I don't slander Jalen Hurts.
No. There are people here on the network. I will not say their names because I love them. There's a lot of Jalen Hurts slander.
There is. I will not slander Jalen Hurts.
I want you to keep that same energy.
So all I'm saying is, look, I would very much like him to be a huge member of the Philadelphia Eagles, because for me, that would be the best case scenario. That's it. Stop it, madam. You're sitting across the table from me. You're right there.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't leave my girl around Jalen Hurts. That's all I'm saying.
No, neither would I. He was at the Montgomery Mall. I told her after the fact. I'm like, he was at the Montgomery Mall an hour ago.
Dude, like, the thing about it is, I think, like I said, I've already told you how I feel about Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts is a great guy. I think he's getting the short end of the stick. I think a lot of these guys getting the short end of the stick. They're all really young. Well, J.J. Ortega-Whiteside's, what, 3 years in?
No, more than that.
How long has Justin Jefferson been in the league? He's only a year. He's DK Metcalf, right? He's, what, 4 years?
He was drafted in the second round of the 2019 draft. Oh,
That's 4 years then. Well, 3 years, really. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. Yeah.
Okay, so he's 3 years in. I mean, anything can happen at this point. I mean, he's changing positions now. He could come out and be a baller tight end. He could catch the ball. He's been catching the ball with receivers. So I mean, it's not like he can't catch the ball. He probably catches better than Goddard. Sorry ass, with all the brick hands he's got.
Now we're pissing off Dallas Goddard. Come on.
We gotta do something. Listen, at this point in the game, I want equal opportunity slander. All right, from now on, equal opportunity. If you do something bad, you should be able to get it. All right, that's all I'm saying. We let Nelson Aguilar have it. He came back, you know, from it, did all right. What can these guys do? Last year they said Devontae Smith couldn't get off the blocks. So we'll see if he can get off the block this year, because now he's playing the second.
And that's it. You have to. I do feel that you have to listen to the criticism,
fix it,
and then do something. Like, if you just hear the criticism, a la Ben Simmons, and go, "Wah,"
I won't.
A la Carson Wentz, "Wah." If you just listen to the criticism and then just accept it to be truth, you're kind of a punk ass.
Can we also add James Harden to that as well? Thank you.
Well, we're going to talk about him. But if you take the criticism, you hear it, you process it, and you go, okay, I am going to shut people the hell up. I have nothing but respect for you. Nothing but respect for you.
But what happens when that player loses, like, lose, like, love for the city, for the criticism? Because
it's,
I think
it's
that
a
should
fair
be
fair assessment. And you know that we do – you know, Philadelphia is a tough town to play in. It's a tough town to play in, but at the same time,
look at Daryl Dawkins. I mean, Brian Dawkins has no problem. He never has to buy anything in the city. So that's not a fair assessment either. I think that this city has some charm. I think there are some people.
We expect a lot out of our athletes.
Facts.
Whoa. We do expect a lot out of our OKers. That's how what you describe Jalen Reagor and J-Jar right now. And hopefully later on they will be players.
Ha-ha. I see what you did there, Tila.
See, all she right. Freudian slipped into my point.
I get what you're saying. Listen, and I'm all right with it. Like, listen, like I know we're talking, we kind of are a little bit off thing. It was kind of cool to have interaction with a
that was cool, though.
It was cool. The fact that they were watching this episode when he walked in, and then he's kind of like, hey, who are these dudes?
And who's to say, like, you and I are podcasters. Who's to say that he doesn't come into camp and absolutely ball out this year?
And who's to say he doesn't give us a shout out or talk shit to us and make us famous? Like, I'm good with that too.
Let's go. I am neoned out, ready to go, looking like White Man Can't Jump up at this bitch.
You don't look like Billy Hope.
What are you trying to say?
You don't look like Billy Hope. You don't look like Rudy Harrison.
Thanks. I'm just saying because, like, the neon colors and the backwards hat. And
you need, like, a patterned hat.
I don't
you tried it. Really hard, though. You tried it. You tried it.
Now, can I come out of my spiral shame and show that I'm actually an Eagles fan?
Okay, yeah.
But while we get going, can I just talk about real quick what the network has this week?
Please.
Because, look, I've been taking, like, a slight break later on in the week because of umping and all that stuff, but I am back full bore this week because tomorrow night we have an Opening the Vault episode, which is where we interview a former player.
Who?
Irving Fryer. We talking to Irving Fryer tomorrow night.
Did you say Fryer John?
No, I did not say Fire John. Irving Fryer.
You know who Fryer John is?
From Robin Hood?
Yes.
That's Fryer Tuck.
That's Fryer Tuck, you dum-dum.
Tomato, tomato.
Wait, and then Wednesday night, we got our weekly report, but do you know who our guest is on Wednesday?
Me, of course.
Nah.
Oh, then.
Bobby Taylor. I'm talking to Irving Fryer and Bobby Taylor this week.
Bobby T.
In my square. And I got yelled at by J-Jaw. It's been a great week.
Listen, only thing that can happen now is that Tila can be accepted for the next season of Dancing with the Stars. That's the only thing that can be helped.
Listen, we went on a little early tonight because T and I have to watch our new show.
The Bachelorette? Please.
No, it's the one where they have, like, the famous celebrity, like, siblings, and they have to, like, stay in a house and, like, eventually you have to guess who it is.
Oh, that sounds
It's funny. Called Claim to Fame. She's going to write down all of her – we have to watch the first episode. She's going to put down all of her guesses – just by seeing these people, and we'll see how right she is. She's really good at like the Masked Singer.
So we're gonna do that tomorrow, like next episode. We're gonna show her like her selections.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of masked singers, wait for this transition, right? Speaking of masked singers, it's time for a brand new segment on the show.
Blue, you're my boy!
You're out!
Yep. Production is very low. We have a low budget.
Low production. All right, so it was a tough weekend in the umpiring world. I decided to, first off, to change my one Twitter feed, right? So I have, you know, obviously my Chip for the Birds Twitter, but I also had a Twitter that was a teacher Twitter. And I'm like, this Twitter gets no love. So I changed it to now being an umpire Twitter. So you can follow my umpiring saga at Umpire Stories.
So why don't you put it up on the screen in your name slot? Just throwing it out there. This is a production piece, because I would want to follow it, but I won't know how to follow it. I won't remember that.
I did it.
Bobby, my boy.
You're my boy, Blue.
You're my boy, Blue.
So last week, I umpired 11 baseball games, including 7 on the weekend. So 4 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday.
And how many? Those how many total?
What's that? 11 total.
11 total. So like what, 5?
So I did Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. 4 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday. Mm. I was exhausted. Like I literally collapsed each day. Yes. This was how I felt and how my wife felt being a solo mom because she is an umpire's wife. And it's tournament season. So I umpired a whole variety of games, including Connie Mack, which is like teenagers. I umped a East Coast regional 18U game on Wednesday night, which was, oh, my God.
Was it great or that good or bad? That you're not saying anything.
So there were 3 umpires. It was a 3 umpire game, which I'd never done before. So it was really cool. Like, sure. A 3 bluesome. A bluesome, if you will.
No, you're blue. You can't. Blue chips and blue balls.
I don't think we're supposed to watch that show on air. But that game was really cool because I'd never done a 3-man game before. It ended very contentiously. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But then I spent my entire weekend umping an 11U wood bat tournament. And I want to stress that part again. 11U. These are 11-year-olds.
I'm just going to throw it out there. Were there no home runs hit, I'm assuming?
No, there was a bunch, actually. It was really cool.
Oh, wow.
With wood bats over the fence. Like, legit. Well, I'm going to tell, again, one of my stories. So, Thursday night, I'm umping the first round, and this team is getting absolutely smoked, right? They end up getting 10 runs.
So, you call the game?
No, the game gets called. Like, it's a mercy rule.
Right, so you call the game.
I don't call the game. The score calls the game.
No, but you're like, no, the game's over. Like, you blow your whistle, and people, like, clear out.
Well, kind of, yeah.
So you call the game. Yeah, so you call the game.
So the first base coach is a poop head. I'm sorry if using such harsh language, guys.
Are you trying to keep it low-key or no? Or
sponsor, but he's a poop head.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
So one of the rules is slide or avoid contact. JD, when you hear those words, what do you think the phrase slide or avoid contact means?
I'm just going to take a shot in the dark. You're sliding to avoid contact.
Kind of.
Shot in the dark.
Kind of.
Self-explanatory.
You would think, right? So the rule is that if there's a play at a base, right, you have to slide or you have to avoid contact. So if you kind of slow yourself up and like walk into the base and there's no contact, I'm not going to call you out. But if you run in full speed and run into the fielder, I have to call you out.
Facts.
You either have to slide or avoid contact.
So what if I slide off the bag?
That's just a bad slide. So if but I now they have all these oven, now they have these oven mitts, which, you know, since you're not allowed to head first slide in youth baseball, that's kind of stupid.
I don't think I would be sliding anyway. That's kind of rough on your body.
Right. So then you have to slow up and not contact. But kids love to slide. It's, I mean, it's just what it is.
Like bat flips. Do you call bat flips? Do you like a good bat flip? Like a good bat? Like
I've never seen one in my career, so I would not know.
You've never seen a bat flip?
Not when I'm umping.
I'm saying if you did, like, let's say I'm a kid. I'm getting in my bag. I just hit a homer. I know it's a homer. I flip that bitch up. Like,
it's a safety thing. Like, if you flip it and it, like, hits somebody in the head, I have to eject you.
Yeah, but I'm talking about this like a bad flip. You know,
oh, go do it. Go do it. It's One of the kids hit a home run, and all the kids were like on the base pass. I'm like, get out of his way. Because in that situation, if they had gotten in his way, I would have had to take the home run off the board.
Yeah, like, you mean like have you ever seen like broken ankles? Like, guy comes down on the base, like feet mm-hmm. are up under him, like kid gets a broken ankle. Like, if
he's, oh, yeah.
Okay, just want to make sure. I just want to make sure that my anxiety is well documented.
So Thursday night, first round game. This team's getting 10 runs. They're in their last chance to get a run to keep the game going. This guy's being a total poop head. He's on first base. There's a play at third base. Okay. And it's a bad throw. The kid catches it, right? Making it a play.
Above the head.
Right? He catches it, making it a play. And this guy's runner collides with the third baseman.
He's out.
If he had not caught the ball, I don't make that call. But by catching it, there's a play at the base. And I'm very calmly explaining it to the head coach.
Facts.
And this guy will not stop from across the diamond. And I say to the coach, I said, coach, he needs to stop. He needs, because he is full throat screaming.
The guy? The
first base coach.
Why is he the one talking about it if the play happened at third?
Welcome. Welcome to the scenario.
Okay, facts. You throw him out.
Please. To which he kept going. And I'm walking back to home plate. The head coach has said, you know, stop. You need to stop. And this guy screams at his dugout. You need, again, full throat. You need to slide. Even if there's no player, he's going to call you out.
You were offended by that or no?
I threw him out of the game.
For him, that's what you threw him out about?
Because he wouldn't stop, and then he was at that point saying how wrong I was, and he was coaching his players through my wrongness. And at that point, it had been going on for a solid 3 minutes of full throat screaming. He had to go. And it's the literal rule.
No, I get what you're saying. Okay, so this is why we always do these things. And I love these with you, because like, I'm a coach and you're the right. ref. So it's like, great. So for me personally, you should have thrown him out when he started talking to begin, because it wasn't
correct.
His fault.
You correct. Should have thrown
him out then. But I don't correct. Know if throwing him out when he makes the call to like kind of, what's the word?
To show me up.
Well, it wasn't to show you up. It was just kind of like to patronize you. It was like patronizing.
Correct.
Like,
and at that point, after a solid couple of minutes of it, and he didn't get like the cute, like little coach you're ejected from this game. He got the, you're gone.
I like that. But so
far. I didn't actually like wind up like that, but my foot left the ground. I'll tell you that much. To which he kept going. He kept going. I had the tournament director help escort him up. He waited by the fence line, and then the game ended. This shows how much of a poopy head this guy was. He came back on the field after the game to get a second run of things at me.
So I want to throw this out there at you. Like, I know what you're saying. I get it. But me as the coach, this is how I get away, and this is how I don't get ticked. Oh. I say things indirectly to my players to where – the referee knows that I'm still pissed, but he can't say anything because I'm coaching through his mistake. Like, I'm coaching through the bad call. Like, it's like, listen, he's not going to call anything. You got to play through the foul.
Two things with what you just said, though. Number one, it wasn't a bad call.
Right, right. Not.
It was the right call. It was the safety thing. Number two, it's 11U baseball. You coach high schoolers.
I know, but I'm getting shit. What I'm saying is, but we all do it. Like, even as you as a coach, when you, with your coach hat on, like, we've done, you know, shithead things, like being a coach. Like, when a kid's like, when the kid's getting like rolled in basketball, like he's riding them, and I'm like, hey, get his hands off of him. Like, it's just like small little things. But for me to coach my player, the way I get around is, like I said, I coach through the player. I'm like, hey, he's not calling anything. You see how they're calling the game. You got to play through the foul. Or, hey, you got to – or, hey, you're he's letting you play aggressive. Sure. So you can play aggressive. So it's kind of like – but at that point, since now I want you to put your hat on and teach me something, because now is that offensive that I'm using
it
the
is.
Scenario?
If it's a call that is correct – if right, it's a bad call, if it's a bad call, you as the umpire, you as the official, you kind of have to take it because you missed one.
Right, but what I'm saying is, like, what if it's like a judgment thing, like hand check?
If it's a judgment thing, that's literally what you say, coach. It's a judgment call, and in my judgment, and that shuts. That's the end of the conversation.
Right, but if I say to my players now, like, let's say we had a conversation, and I say to my players, like, hey, yo, listen, he's letting you play a little bit. He's letting it be a little.
That's fine.
Am I okay to say to my players, hey, he's letting you play physical? You got to play physical back.
If you, again, that's coaching. You're not full throat screaming at your guys to hurt the other team because he's letting you play more physical.
Ha. Okay. Facts. Okay.
It's a lot about tone.
No, I get pretty aggressive. Like, I'm pretty greasy. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm pretty greasy.
Right. So here's the remainder of the tour. So I was supposed to have that team a couple of times on Saturday. The tournament director kept moving me around to kind of give everybody a chance to cool off, which was a great decision by the tournament director.
Bet.
And I got to meet all these great teams, and they were excited, and they learned my name, and they were like, oh my God, are you umping our next game? I'm like, no, I'm over here. They're like, oh, like, it was because that's what I enjoy umping. I really do. Okay. So Sunday morning rolls around, and I have this team again. Now, this guy has already served his one-game suspension for his antics, and they decide to give him another chance instead of running him from the whole tournament. Let me tell you, they should have run him from the whole tournament based on what I'm about to tell you what happened on Sunday.
Okay, let's get active. That's what I'm here for.
Okay, so the first game I have, there's a couple plays with this team, and I got both of the calls right. So the one was – it was a rundown. You know what a rundown is, right?
Yes, when the guy catches the ball and has to run between the two bases.
Yeah, so the guy, the base runner is literally stuck between two bases. And again, I'm right there. And the tag on this team's player, I'm going to use this phrase, was forceful but not malicious.
Okay. So maybe he's a little making the tag.
Right, so the tag, he held the ball. He took his other hand and pushed and extended. But he didn't shove him to the ground.
Okay, fast. Did the kid fall, though?
Hard.
Okay. You gotta get
but that happens when you're running full speed.
You got to get in the weight room, son.
Right. So, again, I calmed everybody down. And that actually is funny. The assistant coach agreed with me. He's like, I didn't see anything wrong. I was like, oh, my God. You agreed with me.
Yeah. He might have been on crack. I'm just saying.
There was also a ball hit down the line that it was fair by this much. And I call it fair. And you just hear, no, 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 no. Well, of course, later on while we're waiting for the next couple games, they're like, yeah, my parents said it was fair. I'm like,
listen, the fact
I know
90% of coaching and playing the game is mentally the give and take between the ref and the player. It's like like you see guys like talking to the ref. Like some guys that talk to the ref, they like
I talk to the coaches and the players all the time.
Right. And then you got some guys that kind of chirp. You know, you got the chirpers. Like the chirpers are out there. Are you okay with chirping?
Chirping to an extent, but when I shut it down, it needs to stop. And normally it'll be, guys, we're done arguing balls and strikes.
But what I'm talking about, no, I mean like amongst players, like shit talk. Like, you know, like, hey, like, bro, I'm kicking y'all's ass right now. Like, I'm getting off. Like,
I mean, again, I do 11U baseball. If it's not malicious, we're good.
Okay, so as long as they don't actually physically cut somebody out.
Yeah, if you cuss, I'm running you.
Oh, man. So can I tell my story real quick? Because I got to. I feel like it's only right.
All right. This is well, hold on. But the 18U game, I didn't chuck anybody for cussing. 11U, I would chuck you for cussing.
Okay, cool. So I need to tell you this part. So, kid, I'm playing in this tournament. It's a pre-summer tournament for our high schoolers. We're getting ready to play. We're playing the number one team in the state, all right? We're holding on. Like, we're only down by – we're actually up at this point. We're up by 8 points. on the number one team. The star player they have on their team is our best defender is on him. He's falling to the bathroom and shaking it. Like, he's there with them. He makes a block on, like, goes up for the jump shot. He tips the ball, but they call a foul, right?
Okay.
And so the ref, there's a conflict with between the two refs. One calls a foul, one calls a block.
Okay.
So they have to confer. When they're running past to confer, my player is talking shit to the coach. Like, the coach and the player are talking stuff. Well, I had been watching it the whole game, and the coach is chirping at our player. Like, get your hands off of him. You know, like, just
you can't do that.
Okay, now we're on the same wavelength. So keep that in mind. We're gonna fast forward a little bit. So as my player is walking up and the refs are walking to me and confer about the call, my player says, your boy's weak. He weak as hell. Like, that's what he says. Like, as I can hear him. The ref that walks by him turns around, texts my guy.
No. Nope. Right. Absolutely not. You're looking to over officiate at that point.
Right. So this is why this is happening. One, because that coach has been talking to him all game about watching this player, because he's gotten into his head mentally. The number one player that's on this team he's mentally checked out, because he's been getting kind of played kind of hard, and he doesn't want the physical contact. And the coach has been talking trash to our player. So I go over, you know, nice guy that I am as a coach, I go over and say, hey, like, that's bullshit. Like, he's been chirping at our player. This is a grown man chirping to a child. So are we going to take up the coach for saying something, or are we just going to get mad? He's like, well, he said it right in my face. I was like, it doesn't matter, because this guy who is a grown man is talking to him. He's not talking to the player. He's talking to the coach. And he's telling the coach that that's a weak as hell foul, which it is. So after the game, we have to pull him out. So because, you know, you get a text. And in this particular tournament, once you get a tech, you can't play anymore for that game.
Okay.
It really just – that's why I said the tech was just over.
So then the umpire – so then the ref should have known that and mitigated the situation rather than officiating the situation.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying.
Because now you're deciding a game. Now you're deciding a game.
So now what he does is, after the game's over, we end up losing by like two to this team, whatever. Still goes down to the wire. We lose by two. We're walking by. One of the other refs that was reffing with him comes by, tells me and my kid, hey, listen, that was a weak-ass tech. I'm sorry that happened. Would you, as a ref, if you're with a group of three, would you go and tell the player that they didn't do anything wrong after the fact? Or would you try to coach up the player to kind of like, hey, man, listen, like, just don't do it? Like, what are you doing as a ref or an ump?
So it's interesting that you ask me that question, because last year I umpired a game with a partner who ejected a kid because the kid, and this was a legitimate ejection, he got called out on a strike three that the umpire had been calling literally for seven innings.
Oh, hold on. Can you grab some of these comments too? Are you down there? Just pop up.
I will on the side. Yeah. And so the kid goes, he grabs dirt, he chucks it in the air, he gets in the umpire's face. Legitimate ejection.
Right. Facts.
I get done the game. I get out of my gear and I go find the player.
Okay. Facts.
And I said, listen to me. I'm like, you are a great baseball player. I said, you were the best player out here by a mile. I said, had there been a college scout, you're not going to that school.
Yep.
I'm like, you got to do better. And his mom, as she's loading the car, is just nodding.
Facts. Okay. So I was making sure that was I thought it was right too. I mean, me personally, I mean, I'm always looking for coachable moments. And it's one thing to hear from me that, hey, I want you to keep playing with the intensity. But you just kind of got to be kind of aware of your surroundings. Like, you can't.
You got to know when. You got to know. Like, I had to eject a kid because he cussed out the third base coach. Like, the third base coach was mouthing off. I didn't catch what the guy said. But the player looked him square in the face and went, yo, shut the fuck up. And I went, you got to go.
I'm down with that, though. But I have to let that ride.
To which the coach goes, well, he's an adult. He's this. I said, coach, I chucked him for an F-bomb. We got strict rules about profanity.
Oh, facts. Okay. Facts.
All right. So then, again, dealt with the team on Thursday. They sucked. Dealt with them Sunday morning. No issues this first game. This team somehow makes it to the championship game.
Uh-oh.
Where your boy is the home plate umpire.
It's going to be trouble.
There was trouble. I call a good game. I do. And they're losing 2-0. Okay. They're losing 2-0 in the fifth. I missed a strike call. Now, when I say that, it was an outside strike that I had been calling, but it wasn't necessarily a strike. So I did hear the, that's been a strike all day.
Facts.
Which is a valid thing. And they start going, and I don't respond to any of it because
it was a strike.
I knew I had missed it. The problem was, is that it was 2-0. That batter then singles. The next batter singles.
Bases loaded. So
the game goes from 2-0 to 5-0 by the end of the inning.
Oh, gotcha.
I want to point out they were already, or it was 3-0. It was 3-0 at toes from 3-0 to 5-0. Okay. They end up losing the game 5-0.
Okay.
So it wasn't like that one strike then made them lose 5-4. Like, they just never scored. The kids start absolutely chirping. These 11-year-olds, I take off masks. I say, guys, we are not going to continue arguing balls and strikes. Fans, you have to call it both ways. I'm like, oh, we're really doing this. At the plate meeting, I had said the following. Yes, Matt, it was 2 strikes. Yes, there was 2 outs. It was a bad miss. I will say that flat out. It was a bad miss.
That's facts. You didn't get a chance to make it up?
Because they kept singling.
Facts.
So at the plate meeting, I had said the following phrase, which I always say. Head coaches, I want to reiterate that you are responsible for your players, your coaches, and your fans. Okay? So this all goes on. This all goes on. And eventually, between the fans and the players and the assistant coach all going to town, I calmly walk down the third baseline. And I said, coach, the head coach, I want to remind you what we said at the plate meeting. You're responsible for your fans, your players, and your coaches. If this continues, I am ejecting you.
Nice.
And he leans around me and goes, zip it. Because he didn't want to be ejected.
And they lost 5-0.
The game ends, and I see Mr. First Base guy coming for the handshake line.
Oh, shit.
And he is making a straight beeline for me.
Let's do it.
And I went, no, we're not doing this. And I just... I drop the baseballs and I start walking off the field. Like, we're not. The game was over. It was a championship game. I wanted to have the other team get a chance to celebrate their championship. I wasn't making this about me. I want to get off the field. And this coach goes, and I quote, hey, Blue.
I knew it.
Hey, Blue.
Does he know your name, Ship, too?
He didn't care to learn it.
Oh, Blue Chip. Okay. Got it.
Hey, Blue. There's some great training options out there available for you.
Thanks.
To which I then said, you know what? There's some great coaching seminars available for you. And I walked off the field. And he kept going and going. He tried to talk to my partner. I was like, Bob, get off the field.
It's 11U baseball, guys.
It's 11U. I got an email later that night from the tournament director to the president of that organization saying, we will not be inviting them back next year because of this guy's behavior.
Nice.
He cost his team a chance to play in this tournament again. And I went, all right, cool. I also got an email sent to me from the head coach of the winning team saying Chip was awesome. He was great with the kids. He was consistent. It ended so terribly, so inappropriately, but he was really great, and I just want to thank him. You take the good, you take the bad. It's the facts of life. So that's what it's like in the umpire world, just a little bit.
Yeah, that was, I would say so. Yep.
It's I really do enjoy it, but there are definitely some tough moments. Let's look at some of these things, right? So Adam a while ago said, what if the fielder gets in your way while you're running to the base? Are they still out? Are you talking about me, the umpire, or me, a player?
It would have to be you, a player, because it couldn't be.
Because me, a player, there's a whole bunch of different things. Like, did they get a chance to field the ball first? Did they prevent the runner from scoring? There's interference. There's obstruction. There's all kinds of things. As an umpire, I just need to get the hell out the way. Get in the best position to make the call, but do not interfere with the play.
Right.
There is something called umpire interference, which is an immediate dead ball. Did you know that, JD?
No, because referees get in the way of all kind of plays and all kind of other sports, and I didn't know it was a thing.
There is an umpire interference if the ball hits me before a fielder gets a chance to make a play on it.
Never knew.
However, if the fielder gets a chance to make a play on it, misses, and then it hits me, the play is still live.
Player. Yep, he meant the player.
So the player, it depends. It's the same rule. Like, if the runner is running and the fielder is coming up, and the fielder gets in the way, and the runner gets in the way, you normally have to call a dead ball because they have to get a chance to make the play. If there's contact, it's usually an easy call. Like, it really depends on the situation. It's timing. It's all kinds of stuff. There are plays where, like, there'll be contact, and I'll put an arm in the air to let you know, like, I have something here, and if he gets thrown out at third, well, I'm going to keep him on third because the second baseman, like, it's all kinds of stuff.
Okay, fair.
How would you fare if you umpired a Major League Baseball? I'm not ready. 100% not ready for it. I am taking my PIAA test in the next couple months so I can be a high school umpire. So I'm going to work my way up, but I'm never going to do professional umpiring. I can just tell you that right now. You ever kick out fans for arguing balls and strikes during the game? No. To which, again, I say, coach, you are responsible for your fans, your players, and your coaches.
You're a jerk.
I will tell you one funny story, though, about a fan. I'm umping a game at my home league, right? It's the league that my boys play in, I coach in, I know everybody. And there's a ground ball, and I run up the baseline to make the call, and it's his kid. I don't know if you heard that, but she's laughing at everybody because she's heard my stories. And I call him out at first base. Boom. And from the left field fence,
the fan,
you hear, come on, Chip, that's a terrible call. And I had had enough. So I whip my head around and I go, my view is better than yours. Next play. Ground ball routine. And this is where I went slightly douchebaggery.
Let's hear it.
I'm right there again. He was out by a mile and a half, right? And I look at the play. And I look and I went, you want to make? Okay, he's out.
Your ass.
I was. At that point, I was annoyed.
I'm all right with it. I'll allow it.
I got stories like this all the time. That's why I changed it into the Twitter account, because I have these stories. They're good. Let's change topics.
Yeah, what do we got? What do we got left?
Your boy James Harden said something.
Fat Hardy.
James Harden came out and said, oh, Schwarber got knocked out in the first round by one home run. I don't know how I feel about that.
Say that's what you wanted.
Oh, they tied. They tied. Okay, sorry. They tied. My fault. I'm watching without sound. I just see people relaxing. Okay. They look very excited. Your boy Harden said a thing, which was basically,
he'll take less money if they can get more people.
Listen, give me whatever is left after you go get players. Also, he said, I mean, Like, I averaged like a triple double, and I know it wasn't like 30 or 40 points a game, but I still like averaged like a triple double. So, you know, I'm still pretty excellent. Do you have some thoughts, JD?
Oh, man. That's an understatement.
Do I need to big screen you?
No, you don't have to. Oh, you don't have to. No, you don't have to.
You're already here. Go.
Oh, here we go. Dear James Harden, I hope you watch this.
Everybody oh, wait, do I need to put on a safety mask?
No, no, it's gonna be all right. No shots fired. You know, no shots fired. Dear James Harden, if you thought that you were excellent at anything other than going to the strip club and eating lemon pepper wings with lemon pepper Lou, you have sadly mistaken, my friend. You look like a Maytag person edition. Like, you remind me of a guy that is 2 years past his prime, but still getting paid like he's before he hit. Like, I just can't do it with you anymore, dude. You got to come in and do more. Like, if you're a passer, be a passer, but we can't pay you this big money. And that's probably why you don't want the big money, is because you know that you need more help. You can't be the secondary option because you're not the secondary option. You're like a, what's the word for fourth option?
Tertiary.
Oh, tertiary option at this point. You made everything harder for us this year. Like, you can't guard a park car. Exactly. You can't guard a park car. He can't stop a nosebleed. He looked like he was playing in damn quicksand this year. Like, he just couldn't get past anybody. And then the times that he did get past anybody, they would catch up with him so fast. He was rolling in there. He's like a damn bowling ball out there. So, yes, I think you should take a freaking pay cut. Yes, I think you should take what's left. Like, you are a squire. Because at this point in the game, that's what you've played like for the last couple of years. Harden, I am sorry. I am sorry. I was excited for you to come. And now that I have you, I might have just stuck with Ben Simmons if you'd be willing to play basketball anymore. So, I'm unfortunately not down for this narrative. I'm not down with the Houston 76ers or the
I'm not a fan of it.
Or the Philadelphia Rockets, whatever you want to call them, or the bullshit Morris or whatever it's called. Like, I'm just not down for it anymore. Like, go get us some real players that can win something. Because right now, if I'm Joel Embiid, I'm looking real like, go get KD or nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, look, you and I talked about this last week. I'm still not crazy about Kevin Durant being on this team. I don't think that he is the right fit for this team because of what we have to give up. But at the same time, making a resurgent group of the 2019 Rockets is not the answer either. I mean, there are mistakes being made. Real, real, legitimate bad mistakes. And I don't know what happens with this team.
Well, you got 57-year-old PJ Tucker, Rashawn Melton, then the rest of the clowns that were on the team last year with Joel Embiid. And everybody keeps saying, oh, Harden looks better this year. Like, how? Like, he does this every year. He comes back after postseason and he looks great. Like, it's like, oh, he's got his weight down. Two or three months into it, when he's going to strip clubs and eating Philly cheesesteaks, he's going to look like Harden of last year. It's not going to matter. Like, until he changes who he is as a player, he's going to continue to be in the same thing. And he doesn't have the winning pedigree. He's never won anything. So we're going into it with a bunch of guys who've never won shit, with the exception of PJ Tucker. Like, and PJ Tucker didn't lead that team. He was just on that team, just like Danny Green. So now that's where we're at. So if you're a Harden fan or you're happy about Harden being here, then, dude, you don't know basketball, and I don't have time for it. Like, Harden is not a secondary guy.
I am excited that Harden is here to the extent of what he could have been for this team.
You've been listening to a lot of Brandy lately, I can tell.
Shut up. She speaks to my soul.
At least you know who she is. Jack Harlow didn't know. So.
Jack Harlow is me. Remember, I'm like tapioca. I'm not vanilla. I'm tapioca.
You're not white skinned. You light skinned.
All right. Can we shenan a little?
I thought that's what we've been doing this whole time.
No, we've been bullshitting a little.
Oh, okay. What's the difference?
Now we go to shenan.
Okay. There's going to be a woman named Shenan. She's going to sue us for copyright.
Shenan?
Her name's going to be Shenan. And
wait, do you remember? Hold on. And I don't know if you know, because there's this was a no.
Oh.
Little T and One Track Mike.
It was a radio show?
and their one song.
What was it called?
Shaniqua don't live here no more.
Oh yeah,
Shaniqua don't live here. Is Shaniqua there? Hell no.
We're definitely getting canceled for that. Just throwing it.
Why? It's a threat. My man, Matt knew. Matt knew.
Yeah, I know that you knew, Matt. I respect that.
So we are going to do our new segment, Shenanquas.
Damn you. This one I think we're going to get. This one I think we're going to get like not canceled every week. You could do something like this.
Build your ideal defense for $10. You need one of each.
All right. I got this. I'm going to go.
There's some Steelers on there.
You already know I'm going to go with my Steelers. So I'm going to take Mika.
Hold on. Make sure you calculate it. That's three.
That's three books. I'm going to take AJ Terrell.
Six.
I'm going to take Kendrick.
Seven.
How much? I got $10?
$10.
I'm going to take Bosa.
Nine, which means you take Simmons.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your ideal defense.
Not really, but I didn't do my calculations right. I would have if I'd really had to do it. I would have put T.J. Watt would have been on my team. I'd have took Christian Jones. That's eight, and I would have been all I would have had.
So, all right, I'm spending big right away. Taking Micah Parsons for $5.
Micah Parsons over T.J. Watt and Aaron Donald?
Yes, because there's really good options in those categories for cheaper. But in the linebacker category, it's not even close.
People don't care about linebackers anymore.
I care about linebackers. So Micah Parsons is for $5. Then I'm taking Jordan Poyer for $1. So now I'm at six. Because of his love of the Eagles, I'm taking Crosby, seven.
He loves the Eagles?
He loves Philadelphia. Well, he loves Philadelphia, excuse me. He loves Is Philadelphia. He from Philly? I think so.
He would have to. That's the only people that love
him. So that's seven, which leaves me with, I'll take Buckner and Diggs.
Wow.
I think my defense beats your defense.
Well, not in the secondary. My secondary is tight. AJ Terrell.
I got Diggs, who if he either intercepts it or he gives it up. Oh, I didn't take Diggs. I'm sorry. I took White.
No, you took Diggs.
I did take Diggs.
Yeah, you're going to get smoked every play.
True.
And I got AJ Terrell, great cover, and I got Mika Fitzpatrick, who is a monster free safety.
All right.
But you do Let's have
see what else we got.
Linebackers.
I got other shenanigans. All right. You ready for this one?
All right, let's go.
Shenanigans. All right. You have to pick your 2000s all-star offense. One quarterback.
Okay.
One running back.
Okay.
Two receivers, and you have to go from each line, and one tight end.
I see what you guys did there. Okay. Fair.
Do you want to go first or want me to go first?
You can go first. I went first last time.
Okay, so I'm going to take Peyton.
Okay, thanks.
Because Tom Brady, while he did win a bunch of Super Bowls, he's really had success later on, like late 2000s, whereas Peyton had the huge numbers the whole 2000s. Oh, you know what? No, I'm taking that back. I'm taking Brady because Peyton had the injury.
Yep.
I'm taking Brady.
I was going to wait for you to.
I picked up on it. That. I'm taking 2000s Adrian Peterson.
Facts. I need that to be known. That's a known fact.
Because that was untouchable. I'm taking Moss. I'm taking Hines.
Hines.
And I'm taking Tony Gonzalez.
Damn, you're making this hard for your boy.
That's my team.
All right. Out of my sure love for this man alone, and I love his commercials, I'll take Peyton. I just love him. I love Peyton. Mm-hmm. He's fucking hilarious. First off, I'm going to go LT.
Yeah, that was my other one.
I got to go LT. I think LaDainian Tomlinson is the man.
Then can we talk about real quick how much Sean Alexander gets forgotten about and how great he was?
He was great. It's just that in that list.
No. I wouldn't take him over any of those guys. But I'm saying is, like, you see him appear on a list like this, you're like, oh shit, I forgot how good Sean Alexander was.
And Marshall Faulk. And you got Barry Sanders in a little bit. Well, it's not in the 2000s, maybe.
No, he was 98. He retired, I thought.
Okay. Well, facts. Edwin James was a beast too, by the way.
I know.
Yeah, there's some bangers on this list.
That's when running backs dominated football.
Do you take T.O.?
I took Moss.
Shit. Okay. Just for the sake of argument, I'm going to take T.O. Okay. I wanted Randy Moss.
I know. Me too.
So I took him. I really want dysfunction. I'm gonna take Ocho Cinco.
Oh my god! Can you imagine that wide receivers room,
dude? There'd be too many egos. It'd be enough egos to drown them in. And I'll take Jason Witten.
Yeah, Jason Witten was a beast.
Yeah, Cowboys.
And again, look at that list. Jeremy Shockey. People forget about Jeremy Shockey.
I was gonna pick Jeremy Shockey, but out of my true hate.
I hate that guy.
The Giants. I cannot pick him.
I hate that guy. But you forgot how good he was.
He was really good. And I had a Jeremy Shockey jersey.
All right. We got more shenanigans. Okay. So I came across this list.
Didn't the wide receiver room exist for a little bit?
What, Moss and Ocho?
No. Was it Moss and Ocho or was it? No. It was Terrell Owens and Ocho.
No, you couldn't. Oh, that's right. He was a Bengal for a minute.
Who? Ocho?
Yeah. No, T.O. He was a Bengal for a minute.
What was I doing when that happened?
Laughing and making popcorn?
Nah.
You got your popcorn ready.
It wasn't that much of a shit show, apparently.
Because T.O. was on his, he was in his twilight years. He wasn't still the player that he was.
He said he could come back and play right now.
He probably could. All right, so this got leaked. It's the Madden 23 top 10 wide receivers.
How is Davante Adams number one?
Well, because he's number one. Fine.
How?
But can we have a conversation that AJ Brown, Devontae Smith are not considered top 10 receivers, that there's nobody from the Steelers?
I'm not even caring about that. My real question is, where the hell is? What the?
But you ask Chase Claypool, and he's a top three receiver in the league.
Hey, get off my mans, all right?
Come on, buddy. What were you going to say? Where's J.J.?
No, Terry McLaurin is not a top 10.
Absolutely not. He got paid like one, but he's not.
Definitely not one. Mike Evans hasn't been a top 10 receiver in quite some time either.
He's got Brady throwing him the ball. That's the only reason why he's up there.
Where the hell is the guy from the rookie of the year?
Ja'Marr Chase?
Yeah, where's he?
Not on this list.
Should be. He's better than McLaurin.
Yep.
Chase Claypool should be up there too.
And Amari Cooper, who is he going to have throwing him the ball? Because they're going to suspend Deshaun Watson. I want to point out, hold on. Amari Cooper is listed as higher than CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb, I don't trust CeeDee Lamb. I'm going to be honest.
Over Amari Cooper, do you?
No, I don't. Because he wasn't even a guy last year, and Amari Cooper was still getting more touches. I just can't trust CeeDee Lamb. After CeeDee Lamb hit his phone took his phone out of his girlfriend's hand on draft night.
He's not trustworthy. Yo, Chase Claypool, though. Let's discuss. He's a top three receiver. Just ask Chase Claypool.
Listen, Chase Claypool on this team. Listen, I will laugh with you. It's this. I have an insider, the guy that's been working for the Steelers for quite some time. He's one of my buddies. He's a writer. And he's been telling me how much Chase Claypool has really shined and how good he's playing with Mitch Trubisky.
That's so great.
I would love to see him in top three form. It would be great. I can pop my jersey out somewhere, sit here somewhere. I can pop my Chase Claypool jersey out and we can rock all season with it, I'll be happy to do so. But I'm like you guys, I'm kind of skeptical. I think he's a great receiver, but there's a lot of other receivers that are better than him right now. And it's put to be seen what we can do.
And you got to look at this, like even like Tyreek Hill being on there, he's got Tua throwing him the ball. He is not going to be the same receiver.
I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you, because we watched Waddle last year eat.
Where's Jalen Waddle?
I don't know. But Jalen Waddle ate last year.
Hopkins is missing the first six games.
Yeah, Nuke's going to miss the first seven games. Stephon Diggs has not been Stephon Diggs of the past. Actually, Stephon Diggs is actually pretty trash now, just to throw it out there.
He won me some fantasy games. I'll give the man his credit.
Justin Jefferson, there's better value in the league now, though. Like, there is. There really is. You got Hunter Renfro.
My God.
Another Clemson guy. You know what I'm saying? Just throwing it out there. T. Higgins. Jamar Chase. That they had a great receiver core. So I don't know why none of those guys are in there.
And like I said, the Eagles receiving core now is on the up and up.
Yeah, A.J. Brown, Devontae.
You got to give them some and nothing. I disagree with this list in a big, bad way.
I would agree as well. And I don't know how Devontae Smith's going to look with the Raiders. He could look like trash can juice.
Devontae Smith better not be no Raider.
Devontae Adams. Sorry about that. Too many
Devontae. Okay. Who is the Dolphins receiver who shit on the Eagles a couple years? Pick one.
Does Will Fuller play for the Miami Dolphins?
Yes. He went to the Texans then.
No, is he with the Texans now? I don't think he's with the Texans. I think he's with the Miami Dolphins again.
All right.
Damn it. I gotta figure it out. Because I think they have three receivers down there. They have somebody else. They have another receiver that they had that was good last year with Miami. I can't remember his name though. Miami's got a squad. Have Dan Parker. Parker. It's Parker.
Yes. This one's fun. And I know it's kind of a struggle to see because it's a lot.
Oh, it's okay. I got it.
But it talks about wideouts. It talks about running backs 5 years ago, right now, and 5 years from now. So the top five running backs 5 years ago top 10 running backs 5 years ago were Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt, Mark Ingram, Jordan Howard, LeSean McCoy, and Marshawn Lynch. I agree. It's a good list. Right now, the best running backs
in the league 10 years?
Yeah. The tread on the tires is real.
Okay. Back.
The top 10 running backs right now, according to this list, Derrick Henry, agreed. Nick Chubb, agreed. Jonathan Taylor, agreed. Christian McCaffrey, do not agree.
He hasn't played enough football.
Correct. Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, okay. Austin Eckler,
he's been hurt a lot too.
Aaron Jones, okay. Najee Harris.
Facts.
5 years from now, this was the most interesting list to me.
This isn't a bad list, though.
No, this is a good one. Jonathan Taylor, I agree.
Yes.
Javonte Williams, who you saw some things coming from.
UNC.
Najee Harris will be a top running back. Yep. Breece Hall, I think that might be a bit of a stretch.
Definitely a stretch.
Travis Etienne.
Yes. Turn up.
Yeah.
Clemson all day long.
Bijan Robinson.
I'm not mad about that Bijan thing. Bijan is a beast.
I like that. I like how they sunk in. Kenneth Walker, it's too early to tell. James Cook, it's too early to tell. Elijah Mitchell, don't think he's going to ever make this list. And Cam Akers, if you think he's still going to be in the league 5 years from now playing at that high of a level, you're out of your mind.
With Cam Akers?
Yeah.
I think if Cam – it depends on how he looks.
He's got to stay healthy. Like, he had the huge comeback, but he's got to stay healthy.
So, I got to throw this out there. So, let's say that you replace Bijan or Breece Hall still with Dalvin Cook, and then you got the Cook brothers.
Ooh.
That's going to be nasty.
And we don't know. Look, maybe Kenneth Walker is the guy. Like, right. The problem is that, like, 5 years from now, like, he's listed as a Seahawk. the Seahawks right now are going to be such a run-heavy team that he's going to get the crap kicked out of him for a couple seasons. Oh, they do not have a quarterback.
But it's going to have big numbers fantasy-wise. So
you probably don't know, because they're going to key on the run.
I mean, at some point.
You do not have a quarterback that can move the ball. Therefore, they're going to key in the run. You're going to see 8-9 in the box.
So quick question. Right now, on all these guys that are here 5 years or no, and then right now, who are you taking if you have the number one pick for a running back? Who are you taking?
Okay, so wait, let me ask you this. If it's I'm taking the pick now, and I expect them to be here right now and 5 years from now.
No, it's just right now.
Well, it changes my answer.
Then, okay, what is the answer?
Because right now it's Dalvin Cook.
He's your number one fantasy guy.
Yes.
That is.
But if I'm planning for a franchise situation, I'm taking Jonathan Taylor all day, every day.
Okay.
If I'm looking for big numbers right now this season, I'm taking Dalvin Cook.
Jonathan Taylor's the answer both times, because he's going to get touches because we know who he can do. He's had 5 touchdowns or 6 touchdowns in one game or something last year. Najee Harris is another one I would take.
Sure. But watching Dalvin Cook be that dual threat is a real impressive thing.
It is. It's just how long will it last? You know what I'm saying?
And that's why I said if I'm looking for this season, I'm taking Dalvin Cook. If I'm looking for the next 2 seasons, I'm taking Dalvin Cook. If I'm building a franchise, I'm taking Jonathan Taylor.
So my only caveat to that, and I do agree with you, but when it comes to Dalvin Cook, he's only the second option. And we hadn't seen anything from Alvin Kamara because they were tanking, looks like, last year. But, you know, like, what does this team, like, what does it mean for, like, an Alvin Kamara? Like, we haven't seen Alvin Kamara in a very long time, Christian McCaffrey in a very long time. And then we only got a sample size of Joe Mixon, but Joe Mixon can really do work.
Yeah, that dude is dangerous.
Nick Chubb, we don't know who their quarterback is going to be, so
they're going to rely on the run.
They're going to rely on the run a lot. I mean, they got Amari in them, but I don't know. It's like a who's who right now, and you can kind of get a lot of value at receiver for fantasy. So for anybody's fantasy, getting ready for their fantasy drafts, so they're going to start happening real soon here. I would say Najee Harris is going to be my guy.
I do like this list, though.
I do too. I'm not. It's not wrong.
All right. This has been circling. If you were to realign the NFL based off of geography, look at this hot mess express. What division is the best in football in this situation?
Which division is the best?
Right. If you realign it this way, what's the best division in football? And please know there is only one right answer.
NFC East.
Incorrect.
AFC Central then.
Correct.
I don't know, man, because it really depends. Like, it depends how good the Eagles and the Steelers are this year.
AFC Central, all 4 of those teams are playoff teams.
The Titans aren't really a playoff team anymore.
They still got Derrick Henry, and the Colts just retooled.
I don't think the Colts are that good either. Like, I don't think they literally didn't make the playoffs last year. They literally did not. Steelers made the playoffs.
Carson Wentz.
The Eagles made the playoffs. The Steelers made the playoffs last year.
The NFC West would be legit, but the Seahawks are a bad team.
Shitty.
And the 49ers will be a bad team with Garoppolo at the quarterback.
The 49ers seem to always find a way to win.
Not Garoppolo, with Trey Lance at quarterback. But the AFC West. The AFC West is pretty damn good, too. It might be the AFC West. I'm gonna be honest. Because I forgot Russell Wilson moved there.
Cardinals won't be shit without DeAndre Hopkins. They're gonna struggle. We don't know what the Chiefs are gonna look like without Tyreek Hill. And Derek Carr, we don't know how good he's gonna be. So, I mean, technically, I guess that could be a good situation. I think they should do the realignment if they did it. I know the worst one is the NFC South. They'd be boo-boo trash can juice. And NFC Central wouldn't be much better.
The AFC East would be really bad, too, outside of the Bills.
Yeah. Facts. But I would almost put if you had to do it straight by like geographical, I would put Green Bay with AFC East. With Buffalo and
No, because it's Green Bay's in Wisconsin, which is the middle of the country. AFC East. Yep. All three of those teams play in New York, or play one plays in New York, two say they're from New York, but they're in New Jersey, they play in the same stadium, and then the last one's from Massachusetts. They got this right. All right, final shenan. And somebody decided to piss me off. This random person has hot takes for the NFL season. You ready? Here are your hot takes. Hot take number one. The Bills will win the Super Bowl. Rapid fire, yes or no?
No.
Okay. Philly proves to have the brightest future in the league. Rapid fire, yes or no?
Yes.
Tom Brady has an MVP caliber season and the Bucs are a top five team. Rapid fire, yes or no?
No.
Ohio State wins the national championship. CJ Stroud is the most coveted quarterback. Nope. Yes or no?
Nope.
You want to say Clemson?
No. Well, we probably will win it, but no. No to Ohio State.
Rapid fire, yes or no? Free agency pays off for the Chargers and they win a playoff game.
Yes.
Rapid fire, yes or no? Packers win 12 games despite the fact they have no offense.
False.
Justin Fields breaks out. Yes or no? Bears go just under 500.
False.
Okay, which of these is the most believable and which one is the most unbelievable?
The most believable is Philly proves to have the brightest future in the league. And then the least believable is Ohio State wins the Natty.
But why?
Why is it unbelievable?
Yeah.
Because, well, for the college football players, people who watch college football, because I know you guys aren't big college fans, but there's going to be a bunch of teams. Georgia didn't really lose a whole lot. They're going to still be run heavy as they've always been. Their defense is just they're just re-ing up. Then the Big Ten is they have a lot more to go through. Like they got to play Michigan State, Michigan. And then every so often they get knocked off by a team like a Purdue or something like that. Like you got to remember they have a big target on their back opposed to like a Clemson who's in ACC who only has to really compete against ACC schools. The SEC is always going to bring it. So Georgia, Alabama, people are talking a lot about Florida right now and Miami possibly. Miami's in the ACC, but they've been talking a lot about some of these teams. And I just don't know if Ohio State is going to be able to come out of the Big Ten as easy as some of these other teams coming out of the SEC.
The Big Ten just beats the shit out of each other at some point.
Right. And then you don't know how good Penn State's going to be either. So that's always they got a decent quarterback this year. I saw him play last year. I went to their last regular season game, so I got to see him play some ball this last year. So I got a lot of high hopes for these guys. What about you?
I think the most believable on this list is the Philly thing. I mean, they got the young players in the right spot.
All over the place. They got dudes everywhere.
I think the most unbelievable is that Justin Fields breaks out. I think the Bears go way under 500, but Justin Fields is not, in my opinion, here's my might be a bad take that we have to revisit, an NFL caliber quarterback.
Well, I mean, I don't think I can't. They still got Matt Nagy.
That's the other problem.
They still have him.
Right, but who is he throwing the ball to?
Oh, no, nobody. But he's not a throwing quarterback. He's a running quarterback.
Okay, who's blocking for him?
I don't know. They got the school.
Who's he handing the ball off to? There is nobody in Chicago.
Listen, I'm all for it. I'm just telling you what somebody told me.
I do think that Buffalo could win the Super Bowl this year.
I don't. I don't. I don't think Buffalo has
enough. But the AFC is a straight-up slaughterhouse on each other. So that it's gonna whoever comes out of the AFC is going to win the Super Bowl. It's just a tough division.
So
– And Oprah. Oprah's in Chicago. Thank you, Matt. Oprah's in Chicago.
Facts. So the thing with the Bills is, like you said, the AFC is so heavy. Like, even if they get out of their division, there's just a slobber knocker, dude. Like, and by the time those guys get beat up or beat down and having to play all those cold games in Buffalo and guys are really taking hits and, you know, you got into a slug match with Kansas City last year, and Kansas City had a shit defense like they always have. So I hear
you. We can.
So – And then on top of it, like, we just don't know how good some of these teams are like that. We don't know how good the Steelers are going to be. We just don't know how good the Steelers are going to be. So
that's true.
So a lot of these teams at Baltimore, we don't know. There's a lot of teams in AFC that have question marks. We don't know how good Cleveland's going to be. We know how good Cincinnati.
We don't know what Cleveland is.
Right. We don't know what they're going to look like. Apparently, there's been news that Deshaun Watson and the NFL Player Association are going to sue the NFL if he is suspended for more than 5 games. So,
but remember, he sat out last season.
Right. So I don't know how you make him sit a whole nother year. It's shady and nasty as that sounds. I don't know how you make him sit out an additional year and don't, like, even if you're in jail, right? So even if, like,
because he chose to sit out.
He didn't choose to. His team chose to sit him out.
Wrong.
You gotta remember that.
There was a portion of it. At the same time, they were like, hey, we'd love you to come and play. And he was like,
he practiced. No. Did you know that he practiced the whole season last year?
I did.
Okay. So he was going to practice. He was doing all that. He could have gamed. They didn't let him travel. That was multiple reports that they didn't let him travel. So here's the thing. When you're in jail, when you're going for, I didn't know this, but my dad brought this up. My dad's in law enforcement. He said that if, let's say, like, you get remanded to, like, wherever, like Rikers Island or something, let's say they think you're a dangerous threat or a flight risk, and they remand you, all that time that you're not out in society counts towards your sentence. So let's just say this was that type of situation. And they said, okay, we're going to suspend you for 5 games. And the Players Association and Deshaun Watson's lawyers sue the NFL for time served. He might only serve a 1-game suspension. And we can't say shit about it because he did not play the whole last season. It won't be right, I guess, in some people's eyes, but at the same time, he didn't play all last season. So he's been suspended. Wow. So you think that what he did was worse than what Ray Rice or what Tyreek Hill has never served a minute of suspension for? Like,
Tyreek Hill should have been suspended. Ray Rice got blackballed out of the league. I think if they're going to suspend Deshaun Watson, then Calvin Ridley needs a 0-game suspension.
Oh, yeah. Zeros. Yeah. Because isn't his, like, stuff like self? Like,
his was gambling. His was gambling.
And gambling is legal, just so we know. Just so we know. And there's somebody else. Nuke is in trouble for PEDs.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't look any different than me. It's not like he's, like, taking steroids. So I doubt that he's – steroids can't help your hands. I just want to throw that out there. The dude has the best hands in the NFL, right next to, like, Cooper Kupp and all that. Dude dropped ball 1 year.
I just want to take this opportunity to remind you that Taysom Hill has paid more than all the WNBA players combined to play backup quarterback.
And that is unfair as well. I just want to throw this out there, though, about Taysom Hill is that he is an awesome athlete.
Awesome athlete? Garbage dumpster fire quarterback.
I don't really think he's a quarterback. I think he's probably like a runner. He's probably just an athlete. Like, you probably can put him at, like, the Deebo Samuels role.
Correct. But he's not a backup quarterback.
No, but.
And again, the whole WNBA, like, it's wrong.
Listen, can we end on this?
Let's do it.
So, do you
do you need a big screen moment?
No, this is for you. What are your thoughts about Brittany Griner's 5-year sentence in Russia?
I think that after a while, it's Russia just trying to be dickheads. And if we were the powerhouse that we said we are, we need to go in and get it. Like, this cannot be allowed.
Well, there is a way that we can do this diplomatically, but we have to give away a real life terrorist to get her back. And I think that's what they don't want.
I'm just saying, like, this is absolute malarkey that this is even going on as long as it is.
I like the... sorry. Wow, that was rough. I like the fact that you said malarkey.
And so, it's funny, you said that, Teal typed in malarkey. Yeah, malarkey.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty rough. I mean, if she was any of these other stars, yes. But at the same time, you know, you just... And to be honest with you, she did it at the wrong time. Had this been any other time, they probably would have gave her a slap on the wrist. She probably would have been home. You know what I'm saying? But they're in a it's like a cold war. Like,
it's an ugly situation right now, and they're making an example out of her.
Oh yeah. And over some hash. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not really sure why I keep calling it hash, but
because it's fun to say hash and malarkey and shenanigans and shenakwas.
You cannot say these words.
Shenanigans don't live in Omo. What are you guys doing on your network this week?
We're getting back to normal, guys. We're getting up and running. We're getting ready to start full court pressing. No pun intended. All of our shows are starting back. U3, OO, and we're going to be starting it back. We got some live interviews with some players coming soon. Some NFL people that we know gonna be rolling in. We're gonna have some fantasy people coming in to talk some fantasy, getting you ready for your fantasy drafts, and hopefully you get your pen and pad out. And nothing heavy like you guys getting like real life fantasy people on, but we're gonna be having people that do the fantasy thing pretty heavy. Hopefully you can win some money. It'll pay off and you go on a vacation with your girl in February.
Why February?
Isn't that around the time for like the Super Bowl and shit?
Oh, yeah, we're going to the Super Bowl?
No, like if you win, like you get the money.
Oh, you win the money in February so you can get ready. Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah, you get the payout. And then by March, you can make some money in March Madness.
I won't make money in March Madness.
No, you don't ever need to do March Madness thing again.
But we're doing it again. I mean,
me and Taylor smoke you.
Season two of the weekly pickoff coming your way in like 50 some days.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. Nah, bro. Ah. T, you gotta come join my fantasy league. You've been talking a lot of smack, you know what I'm saying?
Costumes.
I've won my league like 6 years in a row, and I play with some real life gamers. So if you want that smoke, come on over here. Come get that. We will let Chip be a part of it.
Yay!
Yes, he's coming to join. That's what I'm talking about.
Yay. Wait, do you know that next weekend T and I are going to a Union game?
Are you going with
I'm going with camp people. I'm going with some people who are like British.
Oh, I thought you were going with my man.
No, but I'm gonna be like, hi.
Is he there?
He's soccer. I don't know. I mean, he might be with Barrera.
Yeah, Barrera. Good old Mikey B.
Yeah, I'm gonna flash around some AAT swag.
Swag. Hope they like being embarrassed by a small female based on costume. Listen. See, I'm gonna be honest with you. No one's wearing a costume because you don't get to go off of that in this, because there's people who do this for real.
Because
you go in there with that costume shit, you're gonna get embarrassed. You're gonna have to pay money. The loser has to do something very embarrassing. Like last year, they made this guy shave his balls and put honey on them and walk outside and let all the bees get them.
She already did something embarrassing. She married me.
I know, but this will be way more embarrassing for a lady of her stature. Oh man. T, you little Jeez. I do have a question. One last question. T, you can answer this too from the other room. Are you guys Netflixers?
Yeah.
Did you guys see How to Build a Sex Room?
No.
It's a really good show.
Yeah.
My girl T.
Well, that's all the time we have for tonight. I'm
going to leave you guys to talk about that. Oh. Nasty.
I don't know why I'm dancing like this.
Oh, wow. I was just watching it for the home decor, guys. All right.
It's pronounced nasty.
Nasty, yeah. You are disgusting. Yes, I need a
She's a nice lady.
I need a economist to listen to this.
Like I said, tomorrow night we have Irving Fryer on Opening the Vault. Wednesday we got Bobby Taylor. We still have Birds, Beers, and BS. We got all kinds of great sponsors. Coming up in August, we're going to be hanging out with Hollis Thomas at Sports and Social in Allentown. So look for information about that coming up.
Your balls will think.
I'm not there yet. Statement Game is fun free to us on Fantasy Sports. AATSportsNetwork.com/shop. Buy the new merch. Symbol.com, stock market for sports. Symbol.com, use the code AATSports when you sign up. Vinny's Pizza and Restaurant, which is right next to Stuff to the Grills, both sponsors of ours. And as we have said, Manscaped is back in the fold for a little bit, at least for now. So, of course,
your balls will thank you.
And I'm Chip at Chip for the Birds and at Umpire Stories.
Guys, I am OO_and_. Because I can't say the rest. I'm a teacher now, so I can't say the whole, like.
True story.
Yeah, they'll find me.
Catch you on the flippity flip and the flippity flop. Peace. Bye.
Okay, bye.